This is Taking Care in Business, a podcast that dives into the topic of corporate social responsibility from many different perspectives. Host Vicky Bolson is the founder and CEO of Bolson Group, a unified marketing company located in Indianapolis. Bolson Group is the first B Corp certified company in Indiana, but Vicky understands that you don't have to be certified in corporate social responsibility in order to use business as a force for good. Join Vicky as she talks about why it's always worthwhile to take care in business.
Hello there. This is Vicky. I'm back from hiatus. Oh, my Lord. Sawyer, I have been off for 4.5 months. And then some changes have been made, including bringing you on board as the new producer.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to be back. I'm glad for everybody to meet Sawyer. You can say hello to the audience.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's nice to get out here and get working on some episodes. It's exciting. It's been fun so far.
Yeah.
Excited to get into it.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have Sawyer on board. I mean, I want everybody to know that our content is not going to change. We're still going to interview people from different industries, different size companies, with advice and tips and best practices. But the way we're doing it is changing. I mean, if you're watching us, it's because we're on Zoom now, or we're on Zoom being recorded on YouTube.
Yeah.
But last season, the last episode, you know, which I got used to doing during the pandemic, we were interviewing people from 3 different places, like with our producer at the WFYI studio and me, you know, on Zoom from home. But, you know, just all of it coming together is so different now, the way we're doing this. But we're still at home, people. Yeah. But we've got Sawyer, we've got myself, and we've got our wonderful guest. And so we'll get started. We'll get started with our first guest of our long break. And I'm so excited about this guest. His name is Daniel Poyner, and he is someone that I've met in the last year or so. And for many, many reasons, I've become one of his biggest fans. First off, the intelligence this guy has just oozes out of him. And he has a wry sense of humor and this deep, lovely devotion to his wife, whom he just married. And in fact, he has had one of the most interesting engagement stories that I think I've ever heard. And so maybe we'll get to that one a little later, if that's okay, Daniel. But let me take just a moment to make a really long story of his expertise and background into a short little intro. So Daniel studied philosophy at Purdue University. And then afterwards, he practiced software engineering for about a decade, I think. And then he started a consultancy, which was called Applied Ideals, and he advised over 100 social entrepreneurs working at the intersection of what I love the most, profit and purpose. So then starting in 2019, he began trying to find out everything he could about the climate and carbon offsets, and he founded a company called Carbon Neutral Indiana in April of 2020. He told me that he literally talked to more than 300 people in his research efforts. So rightfully, the MacArthur Foundation named Daniel a young innovator, and he has been invited to lead workshops at over 20 academic institutions throughout North America. And what I am most excited about is that with Daniel's help, my company, Bolson Group, recently went carbon neutral, as did my household. Yay.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got the sign in my yard to show it. And I am so excited to have Daniel on as a guest today because I want him to explain the importance of the work he's doing. And I'm hopeful that with a better understanding of what it takes to offset the carbon footprint, that more companies and households will take the bold step of becoming carbon neutral to also help save our planet. So welcome, Daniel.
Hi, Vicky. Hi, Sawyer. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Daniel, I want to get right down to it because I remember the first time I heard about Carbon Neutral Indiana, and I was like, oh my gosh, there is actually a way to locally, you know, look at your carbon footprint and maybe offset some of that. And we talked, and you were kind of mysterious to me for the first 5 or 6 phone calls. I didn't see your face. We did everything over the phone, and I wondered what you looked like. And I thought, is he real? Because he's so smart, and he's like, he's done all this amazing stuff. He's like the wizard or something. But you explained to me as if I were hearing about carbon offsets and carbon footprint, you know, for the first time. And so what I'd really love is if you could just tell the listeners, kind of explain what it is and how it works.
Well, I have your team to thank for a breakthrough in our rhetoric and our framing. So it can get really complicated. It can get very heady, but the simple version is cleaning up your carbon trash. So in the Middle Ages, people that lived in cities would take their waste and just throw it out the window into the street. And that caused all kinds of diseases and problems, right? And then we started investing in toilets and sewer systems and pipes. And now we clean up after ourselves with our waste, right? Right now, we all have a carbon footprint. When we fly, when we drive, when we eat food, when we buy stuff at Target, whenever we take a hot shower and our natural gas hot water heater warms up, all the little things we do creates carbon trash, so to speak. And right now it's like out of sight, out of mind, but it's still there. So being carbon neutral simply means measuring your carbon trash, your carbon footprint, taking responsibility for it and cleaning it up. That's it. Clean up your carbon trash. And we can go into the details if you'd like.
That is, you can't, it's such a visual explanation and it so simplifies it for people who can't understand it. I've been saying that and using that when people, you know, walk by my house and they see my sign out front and I happen to be going out to get the mail or getting in my car and I can tell that they're like, what? Like, you know, and we get into this conversation and they have no idea, you know, where to start. And so I've been using this explanation and it's like a light bulb goes off where they're, oh my gosh. And I really do think that it's so simplistic that it sort of should just be our responsibility, right?
Well,
how do you feel about that? Like for me to say it's our responsibility.
With an asterisk. So about 100 companies are responsible for creating 70% of the greenhouse gases in the world.
Wow.
And if you haven't heard yet, as there's more carbon in the atmosphere, the ocean soaks it up and the ocean acidifies. It's more acidic and it's killing the coral reefs. So it's very likely that my grandchildren will never see coral reefs.
Right.
When I first heard that, I got so angry. I stomped my feet in my office and I yelled. I thought, doesn't anybody care? Is anybody doing anything about the coral reefs? And so it's true, 100 companies are responsible for 70% of the emissions. But it's also true that individuals can do something. We don't have to just be despairing and helpless. We can measure our little carbon trash and clean it up, while we also hold the biggest polluters responsible.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have some, speaking to that, you have some great goals for how you want to tackle this in Indiana. Can you just talk a little bit about the response you're getting from companies and households? You know, we're a landlocked state, which I think makes us less likely to be, for so many reasons, to really be addressing this. Part of that is our, you know, where we are physically in the country, but also it's the mindsets of people, right? And so I'm just curious what kind of a reaction you're getting from people and from companies.
Well, there's these folks at Yale University who are studying climate attitudes, and they've polled Americans at a statistically significant level all the way down to the county for the entire country. It's called the Six Americas study, if you want to Google it. And what they found was, even in Indiana, over 50% of Hoosiers are worried about climate. Now, that's not represented in the public discourse for a lot of reasons, but most people are worried. And our team was invited to Senator Braun's home, a Republican from Indiana, who, even though he's a Republican and he was very proud that Trump campaigned for him, he still told us in his living room that many Republicans are worried about climate. They're just afraid to talk about it. So I think behind closed doors, most people are worried. That's the first thing. The second thing is most people have no idea where to go. They have bills they have to pay. They have kids they have to raise. They don't have time to think about all the different complications. So most people I talk with are worried. They're overwhelmed. and they're anxious. And unfortunately, a lot of young people are despairing and losing hope. So they're looking for concrete, tangible things that they can do. You know, that might not be $20,000 for solar panels. It could be, but it's something, a little bit of volunteering, a little bit of financial investment. People are looking for something they can do. And so along comes Carbon Neutral Indiana, and we took off because people are looking for something to do. And in the first 6 months, we're a nonprofit, by the way, we've had no angel investment. We've had no grant funding. We're all volunteers. We launched during the pandemic, during a recession, in a conservative state. And yet our monthly revenue grew over 70% month on month on month on month. And I love entrepreneurship. I love Silicon Valley. Most startup companies, they try to grow, let's say 30 to 50% month over month. We grew 70% month over month with no financial support. And the reason why is because most people want to do something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, isn't it? And, you know, Sawyer, one thing, I don't know how much, I don't even know how to pose this question because it's, I think people have a misconception on what it's going to cost, you know, to become carbon neutral. And I admittedly was really worried about looking into it and what it would cost for us to become carbon neutral. And I did so when we went remotely after the pandemic hit. I thought, okay, we're saving on our lease. Like, this is the time to do it. You know, I'm saving all this money on the lease, you know, and it was a goal I had for a long time. But I'm going to ask you a multiple choice question, Sawyer. Do you think that per household of our company, right? So I want Daniel to explain how he figures out your carbon footprint. But he had told me that it was going to be about the cost of blank per month to make each employee's household or each employee rather carbon neutral. Do you think it's the cost of a magazine, a cost of a Netflix subscription, or the cost of a gym membership per month?
Well, the things that I was reading earlier this week was saying it was like, what, 35 to 45 ish, what I was seeing.
Woo, so look at you.
I'll say a gym membership. Give me that Planet Fitness first time entry fee, $40.
Oh, well, if you're going to Planet Fitness for 40, yes, that would work. If you're going to, I guess, a New York gym at $100 a pop or something, it's less than that. I mean, it's like a Netflix subscription. That's crazy. I couldn't believe it. And I really, honestly, I don't know if I believed you when you told me that, Daniel, but you were right. So explain to our listeners how you figure this out, because it was so cool how you figured it out.
Okay. So we help Carbon Neutral Indiana is a nonprofit, and we help households and businesses. We help them measure their carbon footprint. We help them clean it up. We help them reduce it. So for households and businesses, we use a carbon calculator developed by researchers at UC Berkeley, one of the best universities in the world. And we walk them through about 15 questions. These questions are things like, how much did you fly last year? How many miles did you drive your car? What's the miles per gallon? What's your electricity bill look like? What's your natural gas bill look like? How much meat do you eat? How much money do you spend on stuff every month? And we ask similar questions for businesses. For households, it takes about 15 minutes on the phone. For businesses, if it's a small business, it may take an hour or two. Then we say, okay, your carbon footprint is whatever tons per year. And per person, it's usually 10 to 30 tons per person. For a business, we talked about Netflix or gym membership. For a business, it's usually about if you look at their total revenue, the cost to be carbon neutral to clean up after yourself is only about 0.25% to 0.5%. And what's really exciting from a business perspective, I found some research that said among Gen Z, at least, I didn't find research for everybody, but among Gen Z, people 22 and younger, 73% are willing to pay a 10% price premium on environmentally friendly products. So when you go to Trader Joe's and you're going to buy a toothbrush or a toothbrush made out of bamboo, people are willing to pay a little bit more for the bamboo toothbrush, right? So if it costs your business 0.25% to be carbon neutral, you can pass that cost on to your customer and then some, right? If you wanted to, you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, so really people are willing to pay 10% more, and that's the average for their, okay, gotcha. Okay, well, I just think it, you have such a way of explaining like how it works so easily so people can really wrap their head around like what it would take for them to, you know, have their household audited so they could figure out, you know, their cost and such. So then once you figure out the cost and their usage, how do you buy these magical, you know, offsets? Because to me, it's like, well, what are they? You know, it's like, it's just this mystical thing.
Yes. And it's way abstract. That's why I credit your team for creating the concept of clean up your carbon trash. It's very concrete. So do you mind if I tell you a quick story?
No, please do.
Okay. So I do not mean to pick on them, but it's true. Butler University, which is a university.
Going after me.
I go to Butler.
Well, carry this message to your people. Okay, so in 2012, Butler University and hundreds of other universities committed to reduce their carbon footprint. And the Christian Theological Seminary gave them an award for the commitment, and local media congratulated them for the commitment. But a commitment is not actually doing the thing, right? Since then, they've spent maybe $1.5 million on sustainability over those 8 years. And recently they reported that their carbon footprint has gone up 30%.
Oh no.
So $1.5 million in and their carbon footprint goes up 30%. Other universities with less endowment per student have reduced their carbon footprint. There's no excuse. Butler has a tremendous amount of prestige, intelligence, privilege. They should be doing better, right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, why is that the case? I don't know. I don't know where the money went. I don't know how they spent it. So enter a story. Imagine a young kid comes to your house and he wants to mow the grass. Would you pay them $50 and say the mower's in the back? Or would you say the mower's in the back and once they mow it, you can say, oop, you missed a spot, and they go fix that spot. And they say, okay, here's your $50 and some lemonade. Great job. You would do the second one. You pay for performance. You don't just pay money and hope for the best. That's what carbon markets represent. And that's what carbon offsets represent. So wow. Let's say you've got a company like Microsoft and they have a carbon footprint of like 100,000 tons and they want to clean it up. So they'll tell the whole world, hey, we're willing to pay you if you can reduce 100,000 tons. We don't care how you do it, but we want to make sure that it's legitimate. We'll pay you. And now you have all these people competing with one another to reduce carbon emissions and to do it in the cheapest possible way and have an increased quality. And let's say the price is $15 a ton, right? That is the carbon market in a nutshell. You pay for the performance, not just because you're hoping for it. And the whole system is transparent. So that's the context. In specifics, like, okay, what does it look like specifically? So carbon neutral Indiana has existed for about 9 months. We've had no money, so we can't develop our own projects. So what we've done is we supported a project that already existed in Alaska. In this part of Alaska, there's the business as usual scenario is just to clear cut the forest. Every 30 or 40 years, they clear cut. So just like this wasteland of tree stumps. And they use that to sell for logs, which is fine. But clear cutting is terrible. So a couple nonprofits bought a bunch of land and they worked with the state of Alaska to protect that land with a conservation easement for 100 years. And they documented everything in a 100-page project document, and they submitted that to a third party. It's called a registry. In this case, it's called Verified Carbon Standard, VCS, VERA for short. And VERA looks at the project description, and if it passes certain criteria, they give a thumbs up. And they say, okay, this is legitimate. And we know that if you look at the business as usual scenario versus the new scenario, we know that you're responsible for sequestering or soaking up, let's say, 100,000 tons of carbon dioxide. And if it wasn't for you, it would not have happened. So we're going to give you 100,000 carbon offsets. Okay, so now the project developer says, what am I supposed to do with these? Well, they turn around and they sell those to Microsoft, or they sell them to me. And so when I buy carbon offsets for our clients, like Vicky Bolson and the Bolson Group, or my wife and I, we're essentially paying people to do sustainability projects that would not otherwise happen without the money, right? So I'll stop there. It can get kind of complicated, but I want to give a high level overview.
Yeah, no, I think that's helpful. And I mean, there's so much great information out there. Where would you tell people, like, if they just wanted to do some research on, you know, this carbon neutrality and you know, basic things like how to buy carbon offsets, because if they're not in Indiana, so they can figure out where to go, where would you tell them is like the best place to go to get general information?
Well, I would tell a quick story. So in 2019, I was like at the end of my rope. I had interviewed almost 300 people in climate full time for 11 months.
Yeah, you said that.
I couldn't find a single organization to pay me minimum wage to work on climate, which really was frustrating. Mm. It's supposed to be the biggest problem of this generation. I couldn't get a minimum wage job doing it.
Yeah.
And that's when I discovered that there are 700 grocery stores in Indiana, and the average grocery store leaks 25% of the refrigerant chemicals, the chemicals that keep their refrigerators cold. Every year, 25% leak into the atmosphere, and they have to refill those every year. And it turns out that those chemicals are about 1,000 to 7,000 times worse than carbon dioxide. They're called refrigerants, and they trap heat in the atmosphere.
Oh my gosh.
And I found out that there's 700 grocery stores and they're all leaking, right? The EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has a free program called Green Chill. And the whole purpose is to help grocery stores reduce leakage, right? It's free.
Like a whole thing set aside for that.
Yes. Out of 700 grocery stores in Indiana, and they're leaking this terrible thing, guess how many of those 700 are using the free program?
Less than 10%.
One out of 700.
One store?
Yes. Meanwhile, Butler's spending $1.5 million on who knows what. I don't want to be offensive, but.
Oh my Lord.
So here's the idea I had. I thought, okay, if one ton of refrigerants is as bad as, let's say, 7,000 tons of carbon dioxide, if we could just get one grocery store to prevent leakage, it would be like getting hundreds of cars off the road, right?
Right.
Who's going to pay for that? I can't even find anyone to pay my salary, a nonprofit or organization. So then I thought, okay, what if with my left hand, I got a bunch of friends to pay to clean up their carbon trash. And with my right hand, I paid that money to college kids to call 700 grocery stores and enroll them in the program, right? We could measure how much refrigerants we're preventing from leaking. We can convert that to carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. And we know, you know, $15 in, one ton of carbon dioxide out, right? And when I discovered that, I realized that I had discovered intuitively the carbon markets, and brilliant people had already figured this out, and they were like 20 years ahead of me. I was late to the game. And so this is a long way of saying that I started in Thanksgiving of 2019. I invested about 100 hours full time studying every white paper I could find on carbon offsets and carbon markets. And I printed them off in three-ring binders, and I highlighted and I took notes. And I've tried to distill as much of that knowledge as possible on our website. So Carbon Neutral Indiana, we have a FAQ. Any question you have, there should be an answer there. And I can direct you to the best white papers. And we're about to launch carbonneutralamerica.org. And we're going to have every single state, carbonneutralohio.org, carbonneutralmichigan.org, every single state in the country, we're going to replicate our model. So wherever you are, we'll be able to service you.
Perfect. Yeah, I know that, and I wanted to make sure we got that out to everybody. So I want to clearly there are threats and opportunities for CNI, right? I mean, you've talked about some of the threats, you've talked about the opportunities. what do you need from people? Like, you know, I mean, given you can speak to what you see as the threats and opportunities that carbon neutral has, but that as well as what you need. I would love to hear that before we go to a segment from a sponsor.
I know I'm giving a lot of information when I give.
No, good. Give it.
When people give me interpersonal feedback, a lot of times they say I'm overwhelming them and I don't. So the only thing you need to remember from this conversation is just measure your carbon footprint. It takes 15 minutes. You can do it by going to our website and scheduling a 15-minute phone call. Eventually, we're going to create an automated way. You don't have to talk on the phone, but for now, it's a 15-minute phone call. And if you want to, you can be carbon neutral. You don't have to. So that's the most important thing that people are listening to. You can do that in your home. And once you do that, I can connect you to all kinds of stuff based on your interests. I mean, there's a lot of stuff you could look into. As far as threats, I think the main thing is just a lack of urgency. We're in Indiana. It's in Indianapolis called Naptown. It's very sleepy. The philanthropic community, Lilly Endowment's $10 billion a year. I don't think they're supporting the environment that much. Why? I mean, half of Bangladesh is going to go underwater. Tens of millions of people are going to go to Pakistan or India. They have nuclear weapons. They're not going to let tens of millions of Bangladeshis in. Why isn't the Lilly Endowment supporting climate action? I don't know why. There's this lack of urgency. People don't get it. If you went back in time to Germany and you knew Hitler was going to take over Germany, you would do everything you could to stop Hitler, right? That's the situation right now. So the only threat really is a lack of urgency. We all need to crank up our urgency and get to work, right?
So what could like a college student like me, who obviously I go to Butler, but somebody who goes to University of Michigan up in Ann Arbor, who's living in a dorm, like doesn't have their own household, like what could they do to help and kind of offset their own carbon like footprint just by living a college life, essentially?
There are tons of college students who are carbon neutral at Purdue and IU and Butler, in fact. I think the most important thing is not pay us money. That's not the thing. The thing is just commit yourself to lifelong education on this topic. There's so much to learn. Don't just read an article. Don't even read a book. It would be better if you just made a learning plan. You know, this month I'm going to read one book on this topic and I'll watch 3 TED Talks. And I'll do that every month for the next year. If you do that, a year from now, you're going to be a new person. So commit to lifelong learning on this topic. If you want to be carbon neutral, you can. It's probably like $15 a month if you're a college student, which is like a couple coffees. Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention that we do have petitions circulating at Purdue and IU. I went to Purdue. I like to pick on them. We educated Neil Armstrong. We produce brilliant engineers. The country of China has committed to be carbon neutral by 2060. Purdue hasn't. Why? I have no idea. We put a man on the moon. We can't figure this out. So we have petitions circulating. Students can sign them. Students can be volunteers. They can be interns. We had 15 interns this summer. Many environmental groups canceled their internships because of COVID. We took 15 interns. So we have an internship program in the summer. I would just say learn.
Cool.
That's wonderful. I want to come back to just a parting question, but first I'm going to talk about a segment that we used to do before we took the hiatus called Taking Care in Community. And National Bank of Indianapolis was our old sponsor, and we have a new sponsor now, Selflessly. And Selflessly is, you might remember hearing about them because Josh Driver, one of their co-founders, was a guest, I think the very first season of the podcast. And Selflessly is a company that uses technology to transform corporate culture and communities. And I think they're a perfect fit for this because the Taking Care in Community segment is where you can nominate either an organization or a specific volunteer who you feel is doing their part to, you know, make the world a better place. They're using their efforts or their business as a force for good. So in the future, start sending in those nominations to info@takingcareinbusiness.com. But for the first taping back from hiatus, I am going to do the nominating. This is probably the only time I'm ever going to get to do this. And so this is super fun for me. But I am nominating Girls Inc. Girls Inc. Is kind of near and dear to my heart. I was on the Girls Inc. of Greater Indianapolis, their board for the last 6 years. And I just dropped off. I had my last meeting before Christmas. And you know, if you aren't familiar with them, are you guys familiar with Girls Inc., by the way, before I go on?
Yeah, a little bit, not in depth, but a
little bit.
Okay, well, they're a national organization and they work with girls that are between the ages of 6 and 18, and they're in 350 cities in the US and Canada, and they have almost 1500 affiliate chapters. So they're all over, and their mission is, it's just super simple. It's to inspire girls to be strong, smart, and bold. And so they help girls value their whole selves, discover and develop their inherent strengths, receive support, and navigate their challenges through the programming, which is unique in each community, depending on what, you know, their needs are. So meaning that it could be virtual or it could be live programming, whatever, you know, summer camps. And these evidence-based programs, they're led by trained professionals, and they are on topics such as healthy sexuality, economic literacy, empathy development, and then things like STEM and others. And what it really does is it creates this pro-girl environment, and it prepares these girls for their future. So I think it's an amazing organization. I mean, I have two daughters and I have a son who I want to learn how to treat girls, women. And so that's why I committed to the organization 6 years ago. And if you want to find out information, you can literally go to their website and you can put in their zip code in this like I think it's literally called Find Your Chapter. It's on the homepage, or find us in your city, something like that. So you put in your zip code and it sends you and gives you information to the organization that's the closest to where you reside. And their website is Girls Inc., GIRLSINC.org. So that is our Taking Care in Community for this week, which is made possible by Selflessly. So thank you to Selflessly. And it's going to be fun because we're going to have Josh Driver on the podcast as a guest host with me sometime. He's a hoot if you don't know him. And you can go back and listen to his episode from season one. But in the meantime, if you want to nominate people, send it to info@takingcareinbusiness.com. So back to you, Daniel. I want to ask for any parting advice or, you know, something that we didn't get to that maybe you want to make sure our listeners hear.
Well, I know I got kind of intense there.
No, I love the intensity.
I want people to know that a lot of environmentalism is very guilt-ridden. It's very depressing. It's kind of like the Middle Ages where people like hit themselves to try to be righteous. That is not what we are. Our tagline is fun and effective climate action. So it is a serious situation. We need to work. We need to go. But what Carbon Neutral Indiana and soon to be Carbon Neutral America represents is fun climate action. So we're more like Winnie the Pooh and Tigger, and we're less like Eeyore, right?
Well, you make it fun. First of all, you make it digestible, because like I could not, like I knew I needed to deal with it, you know, like I needed to learn about it and really open my eyes and my ears, you know, so I could understand. And when you came along, you really made it possible for me to understand and to be effective. But I mean, you know, like you said, I'm just like this one household and I am this small company, but I really believe that if people can start one, like you told Sawyer, I love the advice or the thing you told him about just learn, because he's going to be able to talk about that, like at a get together at a school or at a club meeting or, when he goes home for the summer or whatever. And if we can each do our part of understanding and having these conversations, it's going to grow, and we're going to, you know, we also have a new administration coming in that is going to, I think, be supportive of climate change. And hopefully that energy will lift all of us up as well. So do you want to comment on what I just said? Because I see you smiling.
Well, also Josh Driver's carbon neutral.
Yeah, I know. That's true. That's true. That's the person that I, oh my gosh, you're right, Daniel. He's the reason that I called you. I forgot that Josh was the one. Yeah.
And Despy Ross, I want to say thank you. Despy Ross introduced us.
Despy. Yeah. She's lovely. Yeah. It's kind of a wild little group of people here in Indiana, in Indianapolis area that really are, I don't know. What do you say? We're trying to do our best over here, you know, and not that we were Pollyannas, we just, you know, sometimes when I hate to talk politics, but when you feel like you're not getting it from your government, you as a leader, you know, whether or an influencer to whomever, your family, an influencer to the people you work with, or God forbid you're an influencer on social media, you know, you can make a difference. And I think this group of people really care about is us kind of binding together and supporting each other in our love for using business as a force for good.
Can I share one last idea?
Yes.
One of the books that changed my life, it sounds so cheesy. Most people, if they're sophisticated, they would never pick it up. But I'm telling you, read 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
And then I've read that.
And then do a book discussion on it. It's a very good book. I used to be so overwhelmed by the news. And Stephen Covey has a little thing. He says the circle of concern versus the circle of influence. I'm concerned about nuclear weapons. I don't have a lot of influence over them. But I do have influence over my life, my career, what I read. And so he said, for your own mental health, try to focus on what you have control over and less so this stuff. And when you focus on what you have control over, you'll find that your circle of influence will grow, right? So if you take away anything, try not to worry about Bangladesh too much. Try not to worry about the government saving us. They're not going to do that. Just focus on your circle of influence. You can measure your carbon footprint. You can clean it up for about the price of Netflix. And then guess what? You can put a yard sign up. You can talk to friends. And as people understand that their carbon footprints are hurting people, and it's not that hard to clean it up, most people are good and most people will want to clean it up. You becoming carbon neutral will create 2 more people who are carbon neutral, which creates 4, 8, 16, 32. And a few years from now, it's going to be the social norm.
Wow, that was a very good way to end this episode of the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just thank you so much, Daniel, for spending time with us today and coming on. I was so excited to share this with our audience because I think it's really important and so interesting too, you know. So one more time, tell everybody where they can find your FAQ and all this great stuff we've talked about.
Well, thank you for having me, Vicki and Sawyer. So carbonneutralindiana.org, we have so much information there for you. And we're about, I don't know when you're listening to this, but we're about to launch Carbon Neutral America. So almost every state will be carbon neutral, whatever your state is, .org. But for now, go to carbonneutralindiana.org.
I just want to thank Sawyer Benj, our producer, and our show sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. If you'd like to nominate someone for Taking Care in Community, you can visit our website, takingcareinbusiness.com, or email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Don't forget to subscribe, follow, or download Taking Care in Business wherever you get your podcasts. If you love Taking Care in Business, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review or share this episode on your social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Taking Care in Biz. That's Taking Care in Biz, B-I-Z. If you have questions or comments, you can also email us at info@takingcareinbusiness.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks to our sponsors, Selflessly in Charge. And until next time, take care in business.